for his people, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when he saw the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's confess our sins together by praying the prayer of confession from Psalm 25 in your order of worship. Please pray with me. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Promise of comfort and forgiveness from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. First John 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Congregation, arise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, know this, that your Savior, Christ Jesus, suffered and died for you. And in Christ, God the Father confirmed his promises to you of the crown of eternal glory, which is promised to all those in Christ Jesus. Despite the sins you committed this week, God loves you and calls you back to himself. You are his. Amen. Let us respond to God's forgiveness by singing joyfully unto Him. God's will for life from Proverbs 9, 10 through 18. These are the words of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud, she is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Eternal God, who has created us to glorify your holy name, turn away your anger from us and take our cause into your own hand against those who oppress us. Show us thy favor and fulfill thy promises, that we may render and give unto thee in thy holy congregation all honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to us now by your Holy Spirit. Give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that we may discern the things of this world according to your revealed truth in your word. Work in our hearts, make them more like Christ, that we may love what you love, hate what you hate, seek after righteousness, turning away from sin, and finding life in Jesus. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and sing unto the Lord. Sermon text this morning in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Brothers and sisters, the word of the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Matthew 25, verse 14. Concerning the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. This morning, we hear from God's word concerning the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment, the Lord prohibits stealing. Thou shalt not steal. No theft. No seizing what belongs to someone else. The eighth commandment speaks to ownership. Do not take what you do not own from the one who does own it. Ownership. And ownership goes all the way up to the top. God owns everything. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He made all things for his glory. As we hear in Psalm 24 from your order of worship, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all those who dwell in it. So as creatures, we confess that God owns everything, including us. He owns us. Now we rejoice in the truth of John 3:16. Boys and girls, does anyone know what is John 3:16? Really? John 3:16, hey, kid in the back. What's John 3:16? So whoever... Very good. Pay attention. I knew you knew it. God so loved the world. God so loved what he made that he graciously chose to redeem it. So when we look upon creation, we ought to see everything marked as property of God. Everything. Property of God. All the trees, property of God. All the land, property of God. Yes, even the land that you own, property of God. And all the people, property of God. We bear his image. Property of God. He made it. He owns it. And concerning the eighth commandment, God looks upon all of creation and he says, it's mine. I own it. I made it. I sustain it by my word. It belongs to me. And we look upon everything as being property of God, and everything screams belongs to God and screams, he is glorious. All, every single blade of grass, every single pebble on the ground, every single hair on your head says, it belongs to God, and he is glorious. Perhaps yesterday morning, you happened to be outside at daybreak. If you looked up in the sky, what did you see? You saw the remnants of a meteor shower that just screamed down upon us, God is glorious, God is glorious, God is glorious, and he owns all of it. And that is to draw us to awe. It draws us to adoration. Now, in God's creative grace, he gives creation to mankind. He made it all, and he says, you are my image bearers. You have it. He commanded human beings to rule over the creation he made. But he still owns it all. He gives it to us to rule over, to steward creation. But he still owns it all. He entrusts it to us. So at the primary level, everything belongs to God. And at the secondary level, his people rule over it. From the beginning, his people secondarily rule over it. Now through space and through time, human beings have spread out throughout creation, either by choice or by not. And God has sovereignly given people differing amounts of property. This includes land. It includes personal possessions. Whatever we have, God's given it to us. Whatever we own, if it's simply the clothes on our back, He has given it to us. And in the Eighth Commandment, whatever is ours that God has given us, He prohibits people from taking personal property from someone else. He distributes to whom He decides. He gives to whomever He desires. Now we, in sin and in weakness, we may not like it that someone else has more than we do. But we do not have the standing. We do not have the right to seize from someone else because we don't like that they have it. That we think we should have it. This is rebellion. Stealing, transgressing the Eighth Commandment, is rejecting the Lord. Rejecting His lordship. We may think, personally, that some wealthy person is a scoundrel, and somehow the universe is out of order because they have more than we do. But we have no right before God to take property in what we might determine is the name of justice. It is not just that that wicked person has more than I do, therefore I have to take it to make it right. We have no right to do that. No matter how many people vote and determine it fair, no human being, including those in government, has the right to steal another man's property. This is plain God. We think we are wiser than God when we try to, quote-unquote, right the wrong. Wealth in the form of money, property, land. Brothers and sisters, God is sovereign. Do not try to steal what He has determined to give to another. That is transgressing the Eighth Commandment and is trying to play God. With that, let's have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Your eyes, please. Good morning, the Lord be with you. I'm going to go with that. All right, you guys sound a little sleepy. Who can raise their hand and tell me what commandment are we talking about today? The eighth. And who can raise their hand and tell me what is the eighth commandment? That's the fifth. Honor your father and mother. Very good. Do not steal someone else's property. Or very simply, what? Do not steal. Okay. All right. I want who can raise their hand and tell me what is this? Oh, raise your hand. Titus. Book. And Cassie, can you tell me what this label says right here? HRC Kids. You see this white label right here? You see this white label? Right there on the bottom? Yep. Okay. Who can raise their hand and guess? Cassie says it's HRC Kids. Who can raise their hand and guess? What does HRC mean? Hamlin Reformed Church. Raise your hand if you were going to say Hamlin Reformed Church. Okay. It says Hamlin Reformed Church Kids. So this goes in the kids section in our library. So HRC, raise your hand. Why does it say HRC? Why is it Hamlin Reformed Church? Evan? This book belongs to the church. It does not say Pastor Justin. It does not say Trevor on it. It does not even say Evan on it. It says HRC, which means what? Hamlin Reformed Church. So if I check this book out, it says Working for Jesus, and I go home and I read it, what should I do? Raise your hand. What should I do when I'm done with it? Well, don't blur it out. Raise your hand. Dean? Return it to the library. Okay? I also have here Laura Ingalls Wilder book. It goes in the youth section. And I have this book on Isaiah that goes in the Bible studies section in our library. Okay? But here's the point. There are books like these in the library, they belong to the church. They're not my books, not your books, they're books that belong to the church, so we can check them out and read them. Now, when we take them home, who can raise their hand and tell me, how should we treat them? Don't blur it out, raise your hand, I'll call on you. Okay, Draven? Do what? Bring it back. Yeah, but how should we take care of it at home? We shouldn't rip it. Right. We shouldn't rip it. We should take care of it. We should return it how we found it. Raise your hand. Why do we take care of it? Aubrey? It's not our book. It belongs to the church. When we bring it home, can we read it? Can we, let's see, can we look at the pictures? If there are pictures? Is that okay if we look at the pictures? Okay. But should we take care of it?
Yeah.
Because it belongs to
the church.
The church. All right. So, in the Eighth Commandment, we recognize that God owns everything, and He gives different things to different people. If He gives things to different people, is it okay if we steal it from them? No. Why not? Because who gave it? God. Just for example. God gives, right? So we don't get to snatch because God determines what we have. Stealing is wrong because it's a sin against God and against the people to whom He gives it. Okay? Thank you, kids. Have those books. Good job. How many pages in are you? So, we recognize that God gives all our gifts, and we don't take those from other people. That's stealing. All right, so let's pray and thank God. Fold hands, close eyes. Repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us and saving us in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be grateful for your gifts, and to not steal your gifts to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, good job. You can head back to your seats. In God's commandments, when He forbids, when He prohibits an activity, He says negatively, don't do this. But He exhorts us to a positive activity, an alternative righteous activity. For example, He says, don't hate your brother or murder him in your heart. That's the negative. Don't do this. Instead, positively, love him as yourself. So in the Eighth Commandment, God says, do not steal. Negatively, no stealing, bad activity, don't do it. Positively, use your own property to help your neighbors. Do not steal, do not inflict harm upon your neighbor by taking his goods. Positively use your own goods to help. Here's an example, Ephesians 4:28. He who steals must steal no longer. Eighth commandment. But rather, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Negatively, if you're a thief, stop stealing. Don't do it anymore. Positively, work, earn by working yourself, and then so you'll have something to bless others. The alternative to stealing is giving and blessing. So there are two sides to the Eighth Commandment. Don't do bad, do good. Don't steal, but give. So in this, God blesses us with something. God gives us gifts. Everything we have is from Him. If you work, if you earn, if you accumulate wealth, the faithful response is not, hey, look what I've done. The faithful response is, thank you, Lord. And when you look around at what you have, the blessings God's given you, you know that's from Him. You know that you haven't stolen it. You know that you haven't used unrighteous means to accumulate it. So you count yourself blessed. You pray, you give thanks, you say grace. But in that, God says you're not done. That's halfway, right? We're not stealing. We're earning. God's blessing us. We're not done yet. We don't get to say, now that I've worked to get where I am, I get to put my feet up and do whatever I want with my possessions. No, that's faithless. That's burying your talents. That's the modern conception of retirement. Is once you've accumulated enough wealth to get to the end of your life, you're done. Put your feet up and ride it out. God says no. Because whatever you have, He's given to you. Whatever you have is ultimately His. So now you have to do good with it. You have to bless others with it. It belongs to God. We have to steward it for Him. He gives it to us for a reason. So ultimately, we can break commands by doing what we're not supposed to do. That's the sin of commission. Commission. We commit something God has said not to do. That would be like stealing. Do not steal. If you steal, you're committing a sin of theft. But we can break commands by not doing what we're supposed to do. That's a sin of omission. You're omitting what God has commanded you to do. That's hoarding, keeping all the talents God has given you, and not blessing others. They're mine. They're my precious good. I get to enjoy them. No one else. Misusing God's gifts. Now, God is our Father in heaven. And He loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves it. He loves to see us receive them by faith, knowing that He's the one who gave them. He loves when we do enjoy the gifts. And He loves when we bless others with those gifts. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's blessings. He opens the gates of heaven and pours out blessings on you and your family. And He says, take all these good gifts and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Not seek ye first a fat bank account or hoarding. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. So when we receive these gifts from the Lord, we ought to ask, how can I use this for God's glory? How can I glorify Him with these gifts? How can I use my income for the kingdom? A couple years ago in a children's message, I had an example for the kids where I took my bank card and I wrote Jesus on the card. Now, that was something explicit. It was with a Sharpie. But you can do that. You do that figuratively with everything you have. Everything's earmarked for Jesus. Now, that's not to say you can't go on vacation and have a good time. But all the gifts that we have are to use for His glory. So enjoy them for His glory. Now, first, He claims the first fruit in the tithe. It's inescapable. The Apostle Paul says at the beginning of the week, you set aside your tithe. And we'll give an offering shortly. But after the tithe, God still owns the rest. He owns the other 90% in our bank accounts. Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Even Wells Fargo. Even ReliaBank belongs to Jesus. Even your retirement account belongs to Jesus. So we need to use wisdom when deciding how we're going to spend our money. Another finite resource. Time. Like money, time in our lives is finite. Surely you noticed this last night. Trying to close out the week. Time was short. We only have so many hours. So we need to seek first the kingdom of heaven in our use of time. Worship, work, family, free time. Where does it all go? We have to be diligent. And we have to steward the time faithfully. Because failing to steward faithfully anything that belongs to the Lord is stealing. It's taking what is His and not using it for Him. We're taking what belongs to someone else and using it for our own glory. And at the core of this, Psalm 24, the Lord has entrusted His creation to us. His creation. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell in it. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And you, who are children of Abraham by faith, you are heirs of the whole world. The world is ours. The world belongs to the kingdom. So what are we doing for the world? One thing we're doing in that bulletin board out there is we're packaging goods to give to children in need. It's a good thing. So look at your bank accounts. How can you steward some of your money to help those kids? Or when we take a missions offering. Just some examples. Your time. Time you spend in service. Time you give to the poor. Time you spend in prayer. The last 4 or 5 weeks in the evening service, we've been covering spiritual warfare. One thing we can do in spiritual warfare is worship and prayer. In the Middle East right now, they're putting adults in cages and lowering them into water and drowning them and making their children watch. They're chopping off the heads of our brothers and sisters. Around this country, they are murdering babies in the womb. How often do we pray for that? That's something that we have at our disposal, something we can do. How often, how many prayers do we devote to that? We've had a prayer group at this church for a couple years now, meet Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. 3 of us show up on a regular basis. You may say, well, I pray at home. Do we pray? That's another blessing God's given us. We can approach God in prayer. We can say, God, bring an end to this horror. Bring an end to this wickedness. How often? Remember the proverb in Luke parable in Luke 18, where the unrighteous judge got sick of the old woman bugging him, that he just gave her what she wanted. What would happen if the church threw up so many prayers that God says, fine, you get it. I'll put an end to the persecution. I'll put an end to the abortion. These are gifts. These are talents God has given us. So don't waste them. Don't use them selfishly. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Because you are not your own. Right? I am not my own. Jesus Christ purchased me with His precious blood and He purchased you. You belong to God. And so does everything you have. So use everything in service to your King for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, protect us.